that we've been calling the Thanksgiving Experience. Throughout this month, as Daryl mentioned earlier, we have been collecting those little cards. They have been our discipline of thankfulness. And so it's just a practice that we wanted to try to do more consistently this month, was just practice the discipline of being thankful. Because shame on us if Thanksgiving is reduced to a single day. And that's been the question that we've been posing throughout this month is, what if Thanksgiving was more than a single day? What would it look like if our lives were marked by consistent daily gratefulness? And so throughout this month, we've been writing on those little cards and putting those up on the cross. But we've also on Sunday mornings been wrestling with this idea of thankfulness. The first week we looked at, what does it look like to be thankful to God, using Psalm 136 as our guide? The next week, we did the difficult work of wrestling with how to be thankful in the midst of great difficulty. And then last week, we used the Apostle Paul as our model, being thankful for the people in our lives. And I don't know how many of you wrote thank you notes to people this week. I know I got a couple. It made my week. The opportunity to just bless people by being thankful for them. This week, we're taking this idea of thankfulness and looking at it in a different way. Because we're going to pose the question this morning, what would it take for Community Covenant Church to be a church that Rockland was thankful for? Now, I know some of you live in Lincoln and Loomis and Roseville and Granite Bay, but the church is in the middle of Rockland. So we're posing the question, what would it take for us to be a church that Rockland is thankful for? And as I was studying over the last couple of weeks, I came across an article written by Garrett Connor, and he writes this. Think with me for a minute. It's October 19th, 2009, or in our case, it's November 22nd, 2015. And suddenly, your church, the people and the building just disappear. No storm, no fanfare, no news coverage, no missing persons reports, just gone, vanished, without a trace. How would your community be different without the influence of your church? Here are some questions I've been pondering in recent days regarding such an event. Would my community be a darker place due to the absence of light emanating from the lives of our members? Would more people be hungry, homeless, poorly clothed? Would community organizations miss the involvement of our people? Would far fewer people be subjected to the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would people sense a loss of hope, a loss of spiritual healing, a loss of help during times of trial? Or would most people go right on about their lives with no notice, no mention, no care about what happened to that church? If the church is to be relevant to a lost and dying world, then these are questions that must be asked and answered in a way that brings glory and honor to the name of the one who gives life, Jesus Christ himself. So the question is, would Rockland notice if Community Covenant Church ceased to exist? Would Rockland notice if our church ceased to exist? The most famous sermon ever preached was the Sermon on the Mount. Also happens to be one of the most ignored sermons ever preached, but that's a different sermon series for a different day. The most famous sermon ever preached was the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking, and in kind of the first third of the sermon, you find these words. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." A couple things we need to unpack in this little portion of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, you. Question becomes, who's the you? In the context in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to his followers, people that have decided to follow Jesus. So hopefully, we would be described as part of the you. That people would describe us as disciples of Jesus, as followers of Jesus. They're trying to live their lives in the way that Jesus has called us to live our lives. So you, Jesus is saying, us, you are the light of the world. Now, some of you might go, time out. Doesn't it say in the 8th chapter of John, Jesus is speaking, 8th chapter of John, Jesus, doesn't he say, I am the light of the world? You would be right. To say that Jesus is the light of the world is theologically, biblically correct, but Jesus has just gotten through saying, you are the light of the world. Jesus is saying that you, when you live the way I've called you to live, will represent and reflect my light to the people around you. You will be my light. I love the way that Donald Hagner writes it. He's a commentator. He says, to let one's light shine is to live in such a way as to manifest the presence of the kingdom. To let your light shine is to live in such a way as to manifest the presence of the kingdom, is to live in such a way that people see the light of hope, of grace, of love, of forgiveness in a world in desperate need of all of those things. But then Jesus goes on to say, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Jesus is saying in this moment that the fact that you are one of my disciples, the fact that you are a follower of mine, should be so evident to everyone around you that it is like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Think about it for a moment. Who among us could drive to the Bay Area at 1 a.m. and go, man, I just couldn't see San Francisco? For that matter, driving south on I-5 at 1 a.m, you see Sacramento from a great distance. I've done that drive many times. You see it. Jesus is saying, it should be that evident. People should see hope and joy and peace. They should see a piece of me in you, and it is unhideable. A number of years ago, I wrote a very, very short sketch. And the sketch was entitled, Something You Never Want to Hear. 5 people on stage, again, something you never want to hear. First person steps forward and says, the test results are back, and it's cancer. Something you never want to hear. Next person steps forward and says, your mother and I have been talking, and we've decided to get a divorce. For a kid, something they never want to hear. Third person steps forward and says, the company is moving in a different direction and your services are no longer required. Something you never want to hear. Fourth person steps forward and says, I'm sorry, we did everything we could, but we couldn't save her. The last person steps forward and says, you're a Christian? Really? I never would have guessed that. Something you never want. If somebody is surprised by the fact that you follow Jesus, you might want to check the voltage on your city because it's not shining so bright. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And then Jesus goes on to say at the end, so let your light shine before people so that they may see your good deeds, see your good works, and give glory to you. No, give glory to God in heaven. They should see the way that we are living, and the way that we are living should be reflecting the light of hope and love and grace and peace of Jesus. In a very, very dark world, we should be living in such a way that people go, wow, there is something radically different about them. The way they live is different from the things I'm seeing on TV or hearing on the radio. They're different. There is a hope that I see in them. So at Community Covenant Church, are we a city on a hill. And you might think, well, yes, we are. Geographically, topographically, we are indeed a city on a hill. We sit on top of a hill here in Rockland. But does anybody know we're here? I mean, besides the families at Parker Whitney Elementary School, does anybody know who we are? Have you ever had this conversation with someone? You start talking about church, what church you go to. I go to Community Covenant Church, and they just go, blank. I have no idea. Even though we might be the oldest continually running church in the city of Rockland, just saying, but people just, blank. Do they even know who we are and where we are? But here's the thing. At the end of the day, we will be known less by our location and more by our reputation. Do we have the reputation of being a city on a hill? Do we have the reputation of being light in a dark world? Do we have a reputation of loving and caring so radically that people go, oh, it's those people? I came across an article by Mark McDonald, and it captured my attention. He wrote, when a church closes, the community drives by and wonders, what'll go into the empty building? Hopefully something that they'll need. Ouch. Maybe we need to think wildly different. Maybe we need to go into our communities and serve them. Give them things they actually need. Maybe they'd consider going to a meeting and engaging with a group of kind people who have loved on them for a while. So, how do we reach out and make an impact in our communities? He goes on to say, we care, we go again. We care, we go again. A godly man once told me, your calling was your passion plus an opportunity. As a church, we have a passion for people far from God, and we have the opportunity to serve them. We must show our communities we care. Then we must go to them as Jesus came to us in our brokenness. We must be relentless in our fight to impact our communities for the glory of God. Then we must do it again and again until we make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything Jesus has commanded us. We must be relentless in our fight to impact our communities for the glory of God. Are we relentless? We sang earlier this morning of God's relentless love of us. And Jesus says in John, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And if Jesus' love for us is indeed relentless, then we need to be relentless in our loving of the people in our lives. We need to be relentless in our fight to impact our communities for the glory of God. I was thinking about what relentless looks like. And anyone that knows me knows I'm a movie person. And so instantly I'm thinking about relentless. I'm thinking, okay, where have I seen relentless in a movie? Depending on your generation, you watch different movies. Maybe some of you in a particular generation think of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. One of my all-time favorite movies, by the way. But if you remember Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, they are being chased by a posse that just keeps going and going day and night over rocks, through rivers. They just keep going. They are relentless in their pursuit of Butch and Sundance to the point that Butch and Sundance look at each other and go, who are those guys? We need to be so relentless that our community's going, who are those guys? Or maybe you're a younger generation, you think the Terminator. The Terminator just keeps going and going. For four movies, he keeps going and going and going. He will not stop. He has a mission, and he goes and goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And he would kill Energizer Bunny. He just keeps going and going and going. He is relentless in his mission. Would anyone describe us as relentless in pursuit of our mission to impact our communities for the glory of God? Would anyone call us relentless? I was thinking about this earlier in the week. I thought, okay, are we relentless? I don't know if I'd call us relentless. We have our moments. We do. We have our moments. The gathering in. If you've participated in the gathering in at all, oh, I love what the gathering in is all about. A collection of churches coming together to provide shelter and warm food for people that just find themselves in a place where they need that. And when our church does it well. And I love the fact that when our church does it, we do not refer to the people coming in the doors as those homeless people or those needy people. No, they're our guests. And it is a privilege to be able to just love them and sit at tables with them. We do it well. And I've had more than a few of our guests at the gathering in say, there is something special about this church and the way they love. And I can tell you, there are a few things that make me prouder than that. As a senior pastor, there are a few things that make me more proud than to hear people go, there's something special about how this group of people loves us. In fact, there are some of the folks, some of our guests have started wanting to come to our church. All right. And the thing is they don't have a lot of transportation. And so there is a team of people that is starting to come together to go, we'll provide rides. Joanna Ortiz couldn't be here this morning, but she goes, I'll coordinate that. We're becoming relentless. Parker Whitney Elementary School. I've said it multiple times. One of our goals by the end of this school year, for every one of us that calls themselves part of Community Covenant Church, should be able to go, this is how I blessed them this year. And so some of you participated at the very beginning of the school year. We gathered materials to put into bags and baskets to give to the teachers at the start of the school year. And then some of you, a handful of you, joined us that night, and we did a prayer walk all around the school. We prayed for every teacher by name. We were praying for the kids. We laid hands on the doors of the classrooms, just praying for that school. And then this week, I love this. We had the funds made available that allowed us to cater a barbecue lunch for all of the teachers on Monday because it was the beginning of parent-teacher conference week. I am the son of a teacher and the husband of a teacher. And I know that parent-teacher conference week is brutal. I got a couple teachers right over here going, yep. It is a long, long week. And all the parents always come in and have nothing but encouraging things to say. It is a long, hard week. And so we said, we're going to bless those teachers. And so we catered a lunch for them. And then on Tuesday, Amy referenced this, they've been doing a canned food drive. They have all this food. They go, what can we do with it? They asked us, are you a place that helps people that need food? And we go, that's us. We got box after box after box after box after box. And the youth room is so full of food that will then get put into Thanksgiving and Christmas baskets and go to people in need. And then we got this card. This is my brag on our church moment. This came from the school office. It said, Dear Community Covenant Church, thank you so much for the delicious lunch you provided us on Monday. We also appreciated the goodies bag that greeted us upon return in August. Your support and generosity, kindness and love has been a true representation of loving your neighbor. On Monday morning, a student shared with me that she was baptized at the church across the street. I was able to share in her joy and talk about what that means. You are making a difference in this community for the kingdom. And I got that and I go, my sermon just got easier. Are we relentless? Not yet, but we have our moments. We have our moments. We have an agape fund here. If you've been part of this church for a while, every first Sunday of the month, we take a second offering at the end of the service, and all the money that goes there, we give away. When people come and they have a need that it goes beyond what they can do at that moment, we help. On Friday, we got a call about someone that was in need in our community, and so a call was made to the elders. The elders quickly talked about it. The funds were made available rather quickly, and we were able to help this individual. And this individual said this. In response to what we did, this person said, I was giving up hope for Christians. She goes, I was just about to give up on Christians. She'd watched a whole lot of talking and not a whole lot of action. And then a little church on the top of a hill decided to shine a light, and someone's hope in the cause of Christ was restored. We have our moments. We certainly have our moments. I wouldn't say that we are relentless yet, but we have our moments. But if I were to think of one way that we can consistently make a tremendous impact on our community, if I could think of just one way for us to be the city on a hill that we were created to be, for us to shine a light into this dark world, I would answer it 3, 2, 1. Three, two, one. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, oh, you're going to hear about 3, 2, 1. It is not a program. It's a way of living intentionally so that we can be light in a dark world. Identify three people that are already in your life that you already have a relationship with. You don't have to go look for these people. Identify three people that are already in your life that are currently not following Jesus. Bless them. Care for them, encourage them, help them, learn their story. And if they want to know your story, be willing to share it. 3, identify two people that are in your life that are currently following Jesus, mentor them, disciple them. Identify one person in your life that is mentoring you. 3, 2, 1. Show me a church that is individually and collectively taking our relationships seriously, embracing the fact that God has put us into relationships in this community. Show me a church of individuals that says, you know what, I'm going to be more intentional about my 3, 2, 1. I'll show you a church that would be missed if it ceased to exist. You know, getting a letter like this from the school across the street just makes me smile. Hearing that individual's response to the gift that this church gave her this weekend makes my heart smile. But I can't think of few things that make my heart smile more than when I hear one of you go, I had lunch with one of my threes this week. Or hear someone go, I'm so enjoying my time with one of my twos. Or go, you know what? I started meeting with a one. I'll show you people that are doing that. I'll show you people that are becoming a light in a very, very dark world. Back in September, during our jump series, I said, we need to be hippos. If you weren't here, you're kind of going, what? Now, granted, it is Thanksgiving week, and after Thursday, but that's not what we were talking about. We discovered back in September that hippos have a bit of a reputation for charging crocodiles that are trying to kill another animal, setting those animals free. And we go, that's what we want to be. We want to be those kind of people that care and go again. That we see a need, so we care, and so we go, and we go again. It didn't work that last time. No problem, because we're going again and again and again. Because we want to be the light of this world. We want to be a reflection of the love and hope and joy of Jesus Christ through what we do and what we say. We want to be relentless. And until we can define ourselves as relentless, we've got work to do for the glory of God. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, you are so very, very good, and your mercy endures forever, and for that we give you thanks. For the opportunity we have to be part of what you are doing in this community, we give you thanks. For the opportunity we have to partner with you to reach out to a people that you love deeply, we give you thanks. Father, we thank you that you are ultimately the light of the world. Help us to be a good reflection and representation of it. We pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.